This is a podcast of 98FM's Dublin Talks. Remember, catch the show live Monday to Friday at 10 a.m.
98FM's Dublin Talks with Adrian Kennedy. 98FM.
You will also remember another very gruesome case a couple of years ago where a man called Mark Burke was found dead and his body dismembered at a waste recycling plant in West Dublin. And again, an awful, gruesome story. Tina, Mark Burke was your partner.
He was, yeah.
And this whole discussion today has brought up his whole inquest for you.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, like, my kids at the time, they were between the ages of 17 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
And they had it all over the newspapers on the front page. Like, they were calling the organ grinder and the jigsaw man and the whole lot.
Jesus.
And the kids had to, my child went up one day to the school. And,
that wasn't the media that described him like that.
Oh, yeah, it was all over the newspapers. It was the Sun.
You're telling me that some newspaper had a headline called Jigsaw Man?
Yeah, that was only actually a couple of months ago. It was Nicola Tallant that actually reported it, called him the Jigsaw Man. They called him the Organ Grinder. And as I said, like, the kids, the lady was saying there a few minutes ago, the kids can read, like, do you know what I mean? And they were able to read that in the newspapers and coming back and asking me questions. And the questions they were asking me, like, I couldn't answer because at the time we didn't have all the details, like, you know. I'm just saying, like, that if there was cousins or friends of the kids that did pass away last year, like, they can read that in the newspapers, and it's so upsetting, like, do you know what I mean, for all the people that are involved.
Now, I remember at the time, Tina, the coverage of the case of the discovery of Mark's remains. I mean, it was everywhere. It was literally covered everywhere.
Yeah.
How else can something like a death like this be covered if it's not in a detailed way?
I'm just saying, like, that we didn't know the details before the media did, you know? So maybe I could explain to the kids in a different way, like, the way, instead of the way it was described in the
media.
Okay,
so you're talking long before an inquest was ever held. The initial coverage of the discovery of Mark's body in parts in a waste recycling plant could have been handled more sensitively, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, like, as I said, their friends were coming up and saying it to them, and we didn't have the information that the newspapers had at that time, do you know what I mean? And until his inquest, we didn't find out that he had actually been a saw and other tools had been used to dismember his body. And as I said, the media had all that information first, and they published it before, like, we even got a chance to sit down with the kids and explain to them what had happened, like, you know. Because as you probably remember, but Mark passed away, he was murdered in the July, but we didn't find out it was actually him until the November.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
So it was just like we found out on the 13th of November that he had died, and then we didn't know the circumstances until the 14th. And then we had a liaison officer from Ballyfermot that was interacting with the family, but they wouldn't give us no information. Like, they didn't, all they told us is that he was found dead and that they didn't know if he had climbed into the skip himself or whatever. But then, as I said, the media were putting up that he was called the organ grinder, the jigsaw man. He was called all sorts of different things. They were describing things of, like, his face had gone missing, because none of his organs had been found. And the kids had to read this in the newspaper, and it was just absolutely so distressing, not only for me as their parent, but as, like, for them, because these people were describing their father, like, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So it was just me, from a personal... an experience like that I had to deal with. I can understand if these kids that passed away last year, like, they had cousins and stuff, and they had to speak to their parents. Like, I could imagine what they were going through, like, saying, like, that the man had slit these people's throats, and the kids were probably asking questions that these people don't know how to answer, you know?
Hearing your story, Tina, really brings it into focus about how important it is for journalists, and, you know, I'm talking about all journalists, to be particularly sensitive when there are children involved.
Yeah, but as I said, like, these kids must have had kids, obviously, that they knew from school and stuff, and they would have had friends that would have been close to them, and
yes,
this information that they were getting, it's like, it can ruin somebody else's life, like, do you know what I mean? One of my kids still, at this day, hasn't got over it, like, and he is just so traumatised, it's just unbelievable. even though like we're getting through it now, like because it's 3 years on, but I'm saying like at that time I can still, like the kids were only so young like that, I can still hear the questions that they were asking me, and I'm saying to myself, how do I answer these things? And I can imagine that that lady, like his wife, her sisters and brothers and their nieces and nephews, yes, and stuff, how they're asking the questions and how these people are meant to answer them.
Because so how would you, I mean, how do you report a case like the case of Mark? Because I remember at the time, and now initially ye didn't know that it was Mark's body that had been found. But I remember at the time everybody going, oh my Jesus, what the hell is this? The media did cover it very extensively. Now, I know at that time you were unaware that it was Mark, but what else, what other way can stuff like this be reported?
I'm just saying, like, they should be a little bit more sensitive compared, like, to maybe explain to the families what is going to be in the newspapers, or send them an email of what is going to be there before it's actually put into the paper, so that they could probably say, well, I don't agree with it, or I do agree with it, but it's just put out there, and then you're sitting down and probably having breakfast, and next of all, you get one of the kids coming in, and that's exactly what happened to me. We were sitting down having our breakfast. One of the kids had gone to the shop, came back down, and she's like, "Mommy, my daddy's all over the newspaper." And I'm like, oh my God. There was things in that I hadn't even been told by the guard, and never mind anybody else. Like, and it's just so, so traumatic. Like, it's just unbelievable. And as I said, I can imagine how that poor family of that man's wife and his children, like their uncles and aunties and mothers and fathers and stuff, how they feel. Because as I said, from personal experience, I went through it. It's just so, so heartbreaking. You can't sleep, like, with these visions in your head, and it's just so, so horrible. And as I said, like, the man shouldn't be glorified. He should have been buried, and that should have been the end of him. Nobody should even think about it.
Mm. Are we any closer, Tina, to finding out what happened to Mark?
No.
Do you think we ever will?
Like that. I don't think so, no.
Somebody somewhere knows what happens to, happened
somebody,
to him.
Somebody knows what happened, but I don't think they will.
And I know you, you and his entire family have appealed for any information that anybody might have. But as I said, somebody knows something about what happened to Mark Burke back in 2014. And it's never too late if anybody does have information to pass on to the Gardaí, because the manner in which he died and was dismembered, it's very, very disturbing to think that a human being who could inflict that sort of death on somebody is actually still walking amongst us. That's the thing.
Exactly. That's the only thing that scares me. Like, I do be scared to let the kids go to, like, Dunleary. Like, we live around the Dunleary area. And, like, even for my kids, like, my son is now 20. And, like, when he's gone out at night time, I can't sleep because I do be scared so much that something's going to happen to him. Because, like, if you've seen my son, like, he's actually the exact same. He looks exactly like Mark. And it does scare me sometimes. But as I said, like, we have to just get over all that stuff. But I'm saying, like, it is very hard as a family with such traumatic circumstances, as in the family that passed away last year. It's just so, so hard for the other people, like the people that are left behind.
So when it comes to giving detail, and we're talking about, you know, explicit detail of how somebody died, I mean, ultimately when you found out it was Mark whose body parts had been found at the recycling plant, when you eventually found out it was him, that was all the information that you needed, really, or that you obviously believe that's all the information that needs to be public anymore, because, you know, he's been identified. After that, that's the details should be kept private. Is that what you believe?
Yeah, well, because at the end of the day, as I said, even if they do need to publish it, as I know, like, that sometimes they do need to publish it, like, give the family a heads up so they're prepared for it, to be able to answer questions that people have. Like, as I said, like, there was people stopping us in the shopping centre saying, oh, I heard this and I heard that, and it was just absolutely
horrendous. What was the worst thing you heard?
The worst thing that I heard is that they took his teeth, his eyeballs, and all his main organs, like, so they couldn't even identify how Mark passed away. Like, we actually still today don't understand, or we have no influence of how he actually passed away. We don't know if he was dead first. We don't know if he died between whatever happened to him. We just have no answers.
And as I said, the most disturbing part of that whole story about Mark Burke is that the person who, or people who did this to him and to his body are still walking the streets. Yeah,
still able to do it to anybody else. Like, at the end of the day, I think the police should have been more intensive in their investigation, because at the end of the day, when they released on the 31st of July that a young man had been found dismembered in the recycling centre, they said it was a foreign national, so that put us totally off. Like, we went thinking in our heads. The only thing that got us is because in 2009, Mark had had a brain operation. He had been attacked in Dunleary, and he ended up with a brain hemorrhage and ended up in Beaumont Hospital. So that was only in 2009, and then he passed away in 2014. And they should have known from the identification numbers on the plates that were put in his head or whatever it was, who it was. But as I said, we had to wait 4 months.
Yes, and that was the bit that threw everybody off initially.
Yeah.
Was this identification of an individual who was most likely a foreign national.
Foreign national, and the reason they'd done that is because his body had been dipped in some acetic acid, and it had been poured over his body. And obviously, when they found his body parts, that they had looked as if they were a different colour to a white person. Obviously,
yeah, wow.
So that's why we were put off, and we didn't find out until the 14th of November. But as I said, like, it's for the poor people that happened to last year, like, for the whole family to be wiped out, and to just to be able to read about it in the newspaper, and for other people to be coming up, and the poor kids, like, as in that they went to school with, or their cousins, or anybody that was, like, left behind. It's really, really tragic. Like, as I said, the newspapers should give people probably a heads up, send them an email and say, like, this is what we're going to write, or send them something, like, just to let them know, like, well, this, be prepared for what's about to happen, like, you know. But it doesn't happen like that, obviously.
All right, and as I said, it's never too late. I know last year you had a march last year to highlight the fact that we still don't know who this is, and I know it's one of those things you'll never let go of. Geez, I hope somebody knows something and will actually come forward and identify somebody who is capable of doing that to, even if it was an already dead human body, to dismember it in that way is just vile. It's vile. Tina, I really appreciate your time in talking to me, and hearing your story does highlight how sensitive the media has to be when it comes to reporting stuff like this.
You're very good. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. Thank you, Tina.
Thank you. Right.
The voice of the city.
98 FM's Dublin Talks.
With Adrian Kennedy.
We're live every morning from 10 on 98 FM.